What's up, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of Nightcapping with Nera Lee. What's up, y'all? It's been a minute. It's been a while. I'm back with another episode. Nightcapping, per usual. So it's been a while, mainly because I've just been busy. You know, booked and busy. Okay. I've just been trying to get organized because I'm about to start another run of classes at the end of this month. So I've been trying to get organized with my schedule and to make sure that I know which days I'm going to be able to do everything that I need to do. Plus, I've been trying to fit in working out. So I've just been really trying to get stuff together. So I don't know if it's been 2 weeks since the last episode. I think I posted one like at the end of February. So maybe it's been 2 weeks. Maybe it's been more than 2 weeks. But whatever. It doesn't matter because I'm back with another episode. This week's episode... I guess I'm gonna let y'all in my business a little bit. So, this week's episode, I think this is episode 7, if I'm not mistaken. Episode 7, we're almost there to the season finale. I don't know what I want it to be, but, I kind of just let these things come to me. And so I was supposed to write out what I was supposed to be doing for today's podcast last night, but I just had complete creative writer's block. I had so many things I wanted to talk about that I wasn't sure what I wanted to touch on. So I just said, forget it. I'm taking my ass to bed. So I went to bed and I didn't do anything last night. And so this morning I woke up, meditated, prayed, all of that. And in the midst of me meditating, it came to me that because I really want this podcast to be as authentic as possible, and I want it to be as real as possible, and I don't like to bullshit. So I'm like, I have to speak what's on my mind or what's on my heart, and I don't want it to feel like I'm just winging it. But anyway, like I was saying, I was meditating and praying and it just came to me that I want to tell more about the experiences that I've gone through that have got me where I am today. And I don't want to come off like I'm just giving all this advice without telling you where it's all coming from, right? So this episode is about the lessons that I've learned from being a side chick. I'm gonna let you marinate on that for a minute because I despise the fucking title of a side. Like, I do not like side chicks, and I just feel like what I was not what I intended to be. And so I don't like to take on that title because it was never my intentions. It was never what I wanted to be. I never sought, like, side chick is for bitches who seek out to be side chicks, right? And I'm calling them bitches because they do it with the awareness that they're hurting somebody and they don't give a fuck. So there's that. But I was an unintentional side chick, if that's a category. So, the story that I want to talk about today, I used to be embarrassed about it. And I used to get angry and cry and be so upset. And now I can talk about it like it's nothing. But it feels like a memory of a past life of somebody else that I used to know and not necessarily me. My embarrassment did not stem from like people knowing or finding out. It was never, I told, like, I had this conversation with my friend a while ago that I'm never worried about what somebody thinks about me. It's always about what I think about myself. Like, I'm my worst critic. And so I'm harder on myself than anybody in this world could ever be. Like, there's nothing that somebody has said to me that I haven't already said to myself. And that could be a bad thing. But people don't faze me. It's a battle that I fight within. So, a lot of my, embarrassment stems from the fact that I've been judging myself harshly. I should have known better. I should have handled shit differently. I should have done this. I should have done that. And you know, it wasn't until the older I got, I realized hindsight is 20/20. And yeah, you can say what you could have, would have, should have done, but the fact is, you didn't. And it is what it is, and you'll live. Looking back at that time in my life, I can honestly say that I barely know who that person is anymore. When I first had my son, I was trying to get that person back, and I couldn't, because I wasn't that person anymore. So much of my life had changed, where trying to be who I was before, it just doesn't feel right. It doesn't fit into the narrative that I'm writing now. So, you couldn't pay me to be her again. I lived it, got a t-shirt, rode around in it, played in it, slept in it, passed out in it, threw up in it, all that. Like, I've done it all. I lived that life, and it's not the life that I'm living anymore. And we can get into a lot of those past life activities that I used to do another time, but we're going to talk about this one. We're just going to take a trip down memory lane. The first part of this, I want to explain kind of like a prelude to the story, because I want you to understand how I ended up there. So, starting back at the beginning, at 17, maybe even earlier than that, but I can remember 17 vividly because I was a virgin still. And so I had made the decision in my mind that I was never going to be a girl that would be in love and be so deeply involved with somebody that I just let them walk over me, because I was in high school at the time. It was my senior year. Actually, was it my senior? Yeah. Yes, it was my senior year. So senior year, or the end of junior, beginning of senior, somewhere in there. But I remember seeing like friends and classmates getting cheated on and lied to and embarrassed at school. And I was like, I don't want no part of that. I'm good. Like, y'all got me fucked up. If y'all think I'm about to be fighting over some boy that, you know, I share math class with, like, I wasn't feeling it. And so I saw a lot of people get hurt because they were so in love with this person. And back then we thought we were in love, but we weren't. But it was childlike love. And so I was just like, nah, that's just not for me, because ain't nobody finna have me out here crying and shit. Like, fuck that. So I just decided that, you know, when I am ready to take that next step and, you know, get out there and start quote unquote dating, I basically, what you would call it today, I basically said I was going to be for the streets, because I was just like, there's no way that you're going to have me stuck on one dude and I'm just crying and upset. So I had this mindset prior to me dating, being sexually active, all that. So when the time came where I was sexually active and I decided that I wanted to, you know, be around boys a little bit more and all that, it was more so I approached the situation as like, we can be friends and then I can, you know, smash every once in a while. You know what I mean? So that's pretty much what I did. But here's the thing though, even though that I had that mindset, I would always stick with one guy. It was never like I was messing with three or four guys all at once or anything like that. It was like I was with the same guy for 2, 3, 4 years. And then, you know, then I would move on, or he would move on. So as I was thinking about this, I was like, damn, there's about two and a half times. Actually, there's been a full on three. I can name like 4 times where there's been like an other woman type of situation. One time that's completely irrelevant from the story that I'm trying to explain. I had like started talking to this guy. We were dating. We were cool. All that good shit. And I had got a call from his girl, like, why does my man, I don't understand this. She was like, why does my man have your number in his phone? And I'm like, why the fuck are you calling me and asking me that? But then I found out that she asked him and he lied. So she felt like, I mean, like, I don't mind telling the truth. Like, if you want to know what happened, I don't mind telling you, but don't come at me with an attitude, because bitch, now I'm not finna tell you nothing. Now I'm finna laugh because you got the nerve to have some animosity towards me when I'm single and I'm acting single and he's the one out here running the streets. So, girl, bye. But anyway, back to my story. I was 17 and I had made the decision that I was never gonna be all in love and you ain't finna have me tripping over no nigga and blah, 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 blah. So, now that I'm, you know, full on, I'm participating in the extracurricular activities that teenagers do when they mama ain't around. You understand? So now that I'm out there, right, I start messing with this guy, and let's call him Tony. So I was messing with Tony, and me and Tony just, it was a friendship. So we were kind of cool, like laugh, joke, hang out, talk, kick shit, whatever. I'm really good at being friends with dudes. It's just a little bit easier because girls are catty. So me and him were just cool. And I don't know how it started, but it turned into like flirting. And then from flirting, we went to, you know, being attracted to each other and hitting on each other. Then it was kissing and then, you know, all that stuff. So we get to the point where we're basically, back in the day, we used to call it cuddy buddies, right? So he's my cuddy buddy. We're messing around. It's whatever. And we worked at the same job together. And so we working at the same job, pretty much have the same shift. We worked the night shift. And baby, I'm not even going to say nothing, but just understand we had a night shift, and my boss was the laziest boss ever. And she used to get on the phone at the same time every night, cupcake with her man. So we pretty much had free reign to do whatever we wanted to do. So me and him working, we're getting closer, we're kicking in and all that. But you know me, I'm still like, that's just my friend. I just mess with him, whatever. And so a few months go by, somebody else starts working there, and that somebody else just so happens to be a friend. That friend happens to be a female, and it's his friend. And so Tony introduces me to, what do I want to call her? Vanessa. We'll call her Vanessa. So Tony introduces me to Vanessa. Or actually, I knew Vanessa from something else, and that's a long fucking story. So we're not even going to get into that. We're going to stay on task. So I meet Vanessa, find out that Vanessa and Tony are friends, and that's it. I was gullible because I had never dated anybody. I had never experienced this. I, at the time, at 18, 17, 18, 19 years old, I took everything that people said as the truth. Like, you telling me that that's your friend, I'm gonna believe that that's your friend. So she's telling me they're just friends, he's telling me they're just friends, I just assume they're just friends. That's fine, because I'm fucking them, we cool, don't matter. So as time progresses, I notice like there's a little cattiness, and I'm trying to figure out like, where is all this coming from? And then I find out that she's pregnant. So I'm like, okay, you know, she's pregnant, cool. Like, but who's the daddy? So she kept calling Tony by his middle name. Let's say his middle name is Rashad. That's an ugly ass name, Tony Rashad. But let's say his name is Rashad, right? So she kept saying like, oh, Rashad, my baby daddy. That's how she kept talking about him. Me not knowing that she's talking about Tony, right? So she keeps talking about her baby daddy, Rashad, blah, 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 blah. And I know some people are thinking like, you was fucking this nigga, you didn't know his middle name. You have to understand, I was not invested like that. Like, we were just cool. Like, it wasn't like that. You know what I mean? So I just didn't give a fuck back then. So I never put two and two together that this was the same guy. So when I found out that she was pregnant, I went to him and I was like, happened? I'm so confused. I thought you guys were friends. Like, how did you end up sleeping with your friend? I don't get it. Like, make it make sense. And he basically was like, well, we're roommates. What? Excuse me? You live together? And I'm like, you're roommates. And he's like, yeah, we're roommates. And I was like, y'all got like separate rooms and shit. And he's like, nah, we sleep in the same bed. And I'm thinking, nigga, that's not a roommate. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? So he's like, we're roommates or whatever. And he was just like, I go out and I kick it and I party. And he was just like, and basically, like, if I didn't bring nothing home to smash that night, I would smash her. And one of them nights I smashed her, she got pregnant. Now, because they basically have been playing house, to her, it's like, you're my nigga. And to me, based on what he was telling me, you're her nigga. Like, what are you talking about? You're roommates. You're not roommates. You sleep in the same bed. Y'all sleep on the same roof. You got the girl pregnant. Y'all work at the same job. Like, that's your girl. Like, cut it out. So he's telling me, like, that's just my roommate. You know, it's blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, okay, like, I don't know what to do with this situation. So so she ends up finding out that me and him end up messing around, which that kind of stirred up a little bit of drama. And there was a lot of drama on the back end. But like I said, I knew her from something else. And that back end, I just can't get into that right now. But it stirred up some drama, and you know, that trickled into the workplace, and it was just a full on fucking mess. And so I remember walking away from that situation and just being like, this was before Side Chick. I think Monica's song out, Sideline Ho, something. I don't think it was a term for that yet. But I remember thinking like, this nigga really lied to me about him having a girlfriend. And even when I confronted him, he was just like, you know, that's my roommate. And it was like, I remember, it's all coming back to me. I remember me asking him this in front of her, because it wasn't even the fact that I needed him to clarify. I needed her to understand, like, I was not trying to, like, girl, I had no fucking idea. And so I wanted him to say exactly what the fuck he said in front of her so she can understand your problem was with him and not with me. That's it. That's all. And sure enough, he told her to her face, you know damn well we friends. And she was like, yeah. And he was like, you know damn well we ain't blah, 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 blah. And she was like, yeah. And I was just like, what the fuck is going on? Because everything about y'all situation screams relationship. And y'all over here playing not it. Like, I'm so fucking confused. So more of the story, I ended up not fucking with him. And then I ended up seeing him like 7-8 years later, ends up apologizing for all the shit, completely different person. And till this day, what the fuck are they doing? Till this day, I talk to him when I see him. I don't kick it with him. We don't really have each other's phone numbers, but when we run into each other, it's all love. Like, that's my nigga. So, I can't have any ill feelings towards him because I was young and I was not emotionally invested and I was dumb. And if I was able to see exactly what the fuck was going on, I probably wouldn't have been in the situation that I was in. So it's really hard for me to hold anything against him. You know what I mean? So that's the first time that I've been kind of in that Side Chick thing accidentally because I was dumb, right? So then moving on, that was 17 to like 18. So then after that, usually after I experience something bad, I just completely be like, you know what, fuck it. I just want to be left alone. So I ended up not talking or dating nobody for a while. I think I may have talked to some guy in between that, but it didn't really go nowhere because he was a liar, and that's another story. So then fast forward, I moved to California. And I ended up staying with my aunt on my dad's side. And we go to this pool party. And the pool party was a fight party for Floyd Mayweather. He was fighting somebody, and I can't remember who it was, but it was an all-white pool party. And I went there and I met this guy. We're gonna call him. I almost said his name. We're gonna call him Chris. So, I was friends with Chris's cousin. And Chris's cousin, let's call her Stacy. Stacy came to me and was like, "Hey, I got this cousin. His name is Chris. You might actually like him. I think you guys would, get along, blah blah blah." So Chris comes. We end up not even watching the fight. We were like ended up like playing pool in the garage while everybody was outside watching the fight in the backyard, just getting to know each other. We were vibing. Like it was chemistry from jump. So we ended up talking, kicking it a few times, and then we end up just messing around and end up, just being. I can't speak for him, but for me, it was just like that's who I was dating. This was the first time that I kind of let my guard down, and I was just like, okay, I'm gonna date this guy, right? So I was liking him, I was feeling him, like, whatever. And so this was kind of like the first time that I was ever like feeling somebody. And around this time, I was like 19. So, we're dating and, basically like everything that we did, he lived across town. So we worked at the same place again, which is why I would never mess with somebody I work with now because I've done it too many times. Okay, I'm done. Don't want to do it again. So, we worked at the same place for a little bit. I want to say maybe like a month or so. But the time that all this happened, I did not work there yet. And so basically I would come up to the job with my friend who did work, or yeah, my friend who did work there, which is his cousin. She used to be like, come to my job, Chris is gonna be there. Like you can see him while, you just kicking with me at my job. And her job was cool like that because her auntie and them own the business. So I could come up there. And so I would come up there and see him. He would drive across town to see me. I would kick in with him, staying at his house. Like we just had like it was good vibes. So one day, I get a call from his cousin, and Stacy's like, I don't know how to tell you this, but like Chris just showed up to the family barbecue with this girl. And apparently this girl is somebody that he was with because he's been to jail before. This girl was somebody that he was with before he went to jail. And so, I guess they've been on and off, and now they're on and blah blah blah. And so I was immediately upset because I was just like, what the fuck is going on? Because now it's like, now this is my first time liking somebody. So I'm just like I kind of like this dude. Like, what the fuck? Like, he didn't tell me, blah, blah, blah. And we talked about a lot of stuff, and this ain't never come up. And so I ended up seeing him like a few days later or something like that. And he basically acted like it wasn't a big deal. Like, he was just like, we ain't really together, and I'm still trying to close that chapter, which thinking back, I'll tell you more about that thinking back, but basically that's what he was saying. And so it was crazy because I had no idea that he would bring that girl up to the movie theater because that's where they worked at. I didn't know like they used to when the place was closed down. They would like clean the theaters and shit like that. And so I didn't know that the girl that he would bring up there was actually that girl. And so I would come up there with my friend thinking, like I'm finna go see my boo, not knowing that my boo had his girl there on the sneak tip. And so what he would do was he would have her in one theater and he would say, oh, I gotta go get something. And then he would come into the other theater where I was at with my friend and just be all on me, all up in my face, and then go back to her. And like it was fucking crazy. So because I was dealing with him and I was liking him, I did not know how to deal with it. So I was just like, I gotta go. So instead of me staying in California, I told my aunt I was gonna go visit my mama, and I just never went back. I just never went back because I was just like, I did not know how to handle this because, mind you, I'm somebody who just didn't deal with shit like this. Like, it was not my thing. So I'm like, I guess I just gotta leave town because how the fuck do you, like, everything that we did was intertwined with each other. Like, your family is my friends and my aunt is best friends with your, like, it was just a lot of shit. So it was just like, there's no way that I can, like, live my life and not run into you or see you or hear your name or whatever. And so it was just like, I have to get away. And my only way to get away was to go back home to my mama. And so I left and I got the fuck on and I went back to Washington and, you know, started my little life all over back out here. And 2 years had gone by, or maybe it was a year. So maybe like a year or two had gone by and he had reached out to me because I had changed my number, all that shit. So then he reached out to me. We reconnected. He flew out to come see me. And we kind of just picked up back where we were again. And so in my head, I'm thinking, like, it's been like a year or two, like, shit had like died down, or you shouldn't be like, if you're flying out of town to come see me, chances are y'all not together no more, because I don't know what girlfriend would just let their man fly out of town to Washington, because Washington is not a state that you fly to go kick it. So it's not like you going to Vegas where it's like, oh, you're finna go party in Vegas. Like, you're going to go see somebody in Washington. So in my head, I'm thinking, like, he got to be out here single, because why the fuck would he come if he's not? Being naive and stupid again. And so we pick back up where we left off, and, you know, I would fly to Cali to come see him, and he would fly to Washington to come see me, and that's just what we were doing. But the consensus was we were not together because we couldn't possibly be. I do not do long distance relationships. I made that very clear, and I'm not even going to try. And so it didn't make sense of us trying to do that when we lived in two different states and I had no desire to move back and he had no desire to move out here because all his family is from, you know, California. So we basically did not, we worked together. But it was kind of one of those situations where we're together. When we're not. And so, yeah, so it was me flying in, him flying in, and that's pretty much what it was. And I want to say about 6 months, maybe, I don't know, my time frame could be a little off, but about like a few months into it, I think it was actually longer than that. No, so a few months into it, I go on his Facebook because I was like, why can't I find this nigga's Facebook? And it was because he had his name like different in the Facebook. And so I was like, if you're trying to make it where it's hard to find you, then I feel like you're hiding something. And so, you know, I did what any girl would do. I'ma start being nosy and I'ma snoop. And so I started snooping and found out that some girl kept calling him baby daddy. And I was like, baby daddy, like, what the fuck is going on? So I asked him about it. And he was just like, oh, the excuses niggas come up with. He was like, oh, that girl, because he was in the streets. So this girl, I want to say, distributed product or something like that, right? So he was like, oh, girl, you know, she works for me or whatever. And he was just like, you know, that's just how she talks. She ghetto, boo, boo, boo. And so he's telling me this because I'm a little bit more clean cut than her. And so to him, he's like, that's just how hood bitches talk. It ain't nothing. And she was definitely hood because she had tattoos on the titties and all that. So he was like, that's just how hood bitches talk. Like, that ain't nothing. Like, you know how girls like see a nigga and they, you know, they got something they want, calling them daddy and shit. So that's how he spun it to me. And I believed him. I was just like, whatever, because, you know, my stupid ass didn't pay attention to past history like a fucking idiot. I believed him, and I was like, all right, whatever. And we kept doing what, you know, we were doing and seeing each other and shit like that. And then one time I had came out to visit him, and I had a dream like Martin Luther King. Okay. I had a dream, and it was so fucking vivid that he had a kid. And I was like, nah, this is crazy. And I got up from that dream, and he was just playing the video game and shit. And I had walked outside, and I called my friend at the time, and I was just like, bitch, I think this nigga got a kid. She's like, why would you think that? And I'm like, because I had a dream, and it was so real. She was like, you had a dream? Like, bitch, like, what? You didn't investigate? So I was like, fuck it, let me investigate. So while I'm on the phone with her, I'm looking up on his Facebook, trying to see what I can find. Some said, go to the bitch's page that kept calling him daddy. So I go to this bitch's page, and Lord behold, an ultrasound. And the ultrasound tagged him in the photo. So I was right. When God sends you a message, baby, please believe it, because I was spot on, okay? So I'm sitting there like, we're on vacation together. Like we're somewhere else together. And I'm like, what the fuck do I do with this information? And I'm the type of person, like, I don't want people to know that I'm bothered by the shit that they're doing. Because to me, it's like, what's the point, right? So I just played it off, and I was just like, I'm gonna bring it up to him, like, when we're on the way to the airport, when the trip's about to be over, because I'm not trying to fuck up my vacation. That was my reasoning for that. So I'm like, you know, I'm just not gonna say nothing. We just gonna rock with it, and I'm gonna just play the role until we get to this airport. And we get to the airport, and the way my mind works is, like, if I don't address it right then and there, I'm probably not gonna address it. And I didn't. And I forgot. And so then, and I don't know how you forget shit like that, but my mind, okay? Just blame my 20-year-old mind at the time. 21-year-old mind. I think I was 21 by then. And so I didn't mention it. And then I get home, and something was like, oh yeah, bitch, you was supposed to ask this motherfucker what's going on with the ultrasound. So then I call him, and I'm like, so what's up? Because I'm trying to figure out why this bitch that you said was just doing shit for you is calling you daddy and then tagging you in ultrasounds. And that's when he just spills the beans. He tells me that he got her pregnant, and, you know, it wasn't even like that. It was like some friends with benefits, shit, blah, 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 because they all say that. So again, I like this person, and I'm thinking, like, it must be fate, because it's been like a year or two since we saw each other and we met, blah, blah, blah. And so I was supposed to be, you know, oh my God. So I was devastated, right? And so I could talk about this shit now, but when I tell you, when all this shit went down, I used to cry and be mad as hell talking about this shit. But now it's all hilarious to me, because I was dumb. So, so he tells me all this or whatever, and he's just like, but we're not together. Like, we've already established, like, we're not together. And this was just, you know, one of those things. It was a fluke. And he was like, I didn't want to have kids by her. She already got kids. Whoop. Like, you know, the typical, I don't even like my baby mama storyline that a lot of these niggas put out there. So he's telling me all this or whatever, and we stop talking for a while. Again, he comes back around because I'm stupid, and I let him back in, and we ended up dating again. And so one time I go visit, and he tells me, like, so my baby mama lives close by this time. I think she's still pregnant, high risk, so she's like on bed rest type shit. So he's like, my baby mama lives close to me because I have to make sure that she's good, blah, blah, blah. So that's what he's telling me. She lives over here, I live over here, I just have to make sure that she's close because blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, whatever, if you say so. I'm not even gonna speak to my mindset during that time, because it was very, very dark. But I'm like, what the fuck ever. And me and this girl, we did have like an interaction or altercation with each other, not like physically, but some words were exchanged because I didn't like this bitch. How dare you have a baby by the guy that I love? You know, fuck you. So, there was already some history. So I really just didn't give a fuck about her. Because in my mind, like, he knew me before he knew her. And then because I took a break, he ended up meeting you. And then, so that's how my mind was working back then. And so he's telling me all this and I'm like, I don't give a fuck, but all right, the bitch live around the corner. Got it. And so one day, I used to rent cars, but, because I was like, fuck that. Why am I renting a car when nigga, you got like three cars? Like, I'ma just use your shit. And so I had started, you driving his car around whenever I would come to town. And so one day, I ended up pulling up, in front of his house in his car, and some kids, like, they looked like, oh, we know who it is. And I rolled down the window and it's me. And they looked confused. Like, what the fuck is going on? And I had realized, like, this is this girl's kids. Like, why the fuck are her kids at his house? And so, that night, later on that night, I'm like chilling in the house with his family, you know, they barbecuing and shit, music going, everybody kicking it. And I guess she pulls up and she throws all his shit outside in the yard and all this stuff. And they're giving me the play by play. Cause at first she was calling and hanging up, and then she was calling and cussing him out. And then I guess she showed up and like threw his stuff out or whatever. And so he was trying to be calm and like civil. Cause you know, she's high risk. And so he's like, I'm not trying to like get her, you know, riled up. Cause my baby in there. And so, she comes, throws his shit out, she threw his shit out at the place that she stayed at and basically told him, like, yo, shit outside, come get it. And basically she threw Xbox, all that outside, like, I'm done with your ass. Because basically me, you got this bitch running around and blah, blah, blah. You already know how that conversation went. And so he come all upset and distraught and just all on me, like, comfort me and blah, blah, blah. And I'm talking like this now because I get it now. Lesson learned. This was 10 years ago, but I'm talking like this now. But back then it was like, oh, he's so upset. Let me be your peace for you. And he was like, you know, I just, you know, I guess I just got to tell you, because I'm like confused, like my dumb motherfucking ass sitting on the couch like, oh, so he just had like a few things over there. He just had a few things over at her house and she just threw them outside. And then this nigga pulls up and he got like a car full of shit. Like, nigga, you live there. So I'm sitting there processing like, you live there? I thought you were just saying that she lived around the corner. And he was like, well, there's times where I stay the night and blah, blah, blah. And the more he kept explaining, the more I was like, so y'all live together. You got the bitch pregnant. It was like deja vu all over again. So I'm like, what the fuck is going on that I keep ending up in these situations where, you know, they have like, they're living with somebody, they're having a baby. And it was just like, the things that I've learned was, one, you got to fucking snoop. I'm sorry. You got to snoop. You got a Facebook, you got a Twitter, you got a Snapchat, you got a MySpace, you got to Google, you got a background check. You got to fucking research these niggas before you get in bed with them. Because me not looking into shit or me avoiding shit because I didn't want to know the answer got me deeper into shit that I did not need to be in. And so the lessons that I learned from both of these situations were, you don't ask enough questions, you don't do enough research, and you don't pay attention to the red flags. The red flags ones, they're obvious as day. And so it was... at the time, it was just so like devastating to me because I was just like, to me, it was like, this is as good as it's going to get for me. Like, I'm not going to get any better situation than this. I'm not going to get a guy that's all for me because, you know, why the fuck Like, I just keep dating guys that end up in this situation. I could even tell you another story of a boyfriend. This one I would say was my boyfriend, And so, and even then he cheated and had a baby with somebody else. And so I just was like, why do I keep ending up in these situations? And a lot of it was because I was so focused on not being emotionally involved that I was ignoring shit that you probably would if you were actually looking to be with this person, right? And so I just didn't ignore it because I was still doing my own fucking thing. Like, I didn't fucking care because you know, I'm out here, like, I'm not just, like, I'm fucking you, but I'm talking to him. I'm fucking you, but I'm talking to them. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't like one of those situations where it was like, I was just so, my feelings, especially for Chris, I had a lot of feelings for him. And so my feelings were attached there, but I was still able to check out and like go live my life because it's like I said, when we're together, we're together. When we're not, we're not. And so it was very easy for me to get past that aspect of it. But because I was so like detached and emotionally unavailable, it was very easy for me not to pay attention to these things because I'm over here trying to conceal my shit on the side too. Like, I don't want you knowing what I'm doing over here. So I'm not paying attention to what you're trying to hide and conceal over there. And so a lot of this shit went on for so long because I was just not invested in that person. And it also made me feel like there's no such thing as a good relationship because, I've watched too many people get cheated on, from my mom to my friends to, like, I don't know anybody that was just in a happy relationship. And so I just had this thought, like, it is what it is and it's always going to be this way and there's nothing we can do about it. And so that's just kind of been my thought process from, like, I want to say from like 19 all the way until I was like 25, 26, 27, shit, 28, I'm 30, about to be 31. I want to say about 28, 29, I was feeling like there's no fucking point in trying to find the one because there's no such thing. That all of that mindset stemmed from past situationships that I was in that have hardened me. I was already starting out like, I'm not going to be emotionally invested in somebody. And then when things kept happening, I just kept piling it on to that already excuse that I had made for myself way back when I was 17. And so by the time I get to like 25, I'm just like, fuck these niggas. And that was just pretty much my mindset. But each situation, I never wanted to be like, I don't want to share you. Like, I don't want to share you with another woman. That was not my thing. And so me ending up in that situation, it was draining. And how I got out of that, I just prayed and I prayed until it happened. And I just kept asking God, like, whatever bond that me and him got, whatever connection we have got, I need you to break it so I can just be completely done with him. And I woke up one day and I just felt it in my heart and I called him and I said, I'm done. Don't call me. Lose my number. We're good. And he said, okay. He didn't fight. He didn't beg. He didn't plead. And I was just like, the fact that he did not do any of that, that lets me know that he probably was waiting on me this whole time. He was going to keep continuing on doing what he was doing. And as long as I was accepting the shit, he was going to keep doing it. But I think he was waiting on me to be like, I'm done. Because when I said I was done, he let me go. He didn't bother me not one bit. I viewed myself for the longest somebody that was just not capable of being in a relationship. I will say also that it made me realize that I never spoke up for myself in these situations. I'm very like outspoken when it comes to friends and family, but whenever it comes to like a significant other, I kind of lose myself. And so that was something else that I realized about myself later on, was like, man, like, I really lost myself with these people for the sake of keeping them happy. which was a fucking waste. Because at the end of the day, I was miserable while they were getting their cake and eating it too. Like, they were living their best life. They had a bitch over here, a bitch over there, a bitch over there. Like, they were just living. And I'm over here upset because you out here, you know, fucking all these bitches. You know? And it was just like, it just wasn't worth it. And so, it really shaped how I viewed relationships, how I viewed love. I believe that it can happen for other people and that it couldn't happen for me. And it just really made me like a very like hard person. And so for like 5 years, well, not five, four, about 3.5, 4 years, I just said, I'm not dating anybody. And that was, I want to say right after I got pregnant, I was just like, I'm done. I don't want to date anybody anymore. And I didn't entertain anybody until my son was like three. And so, and that was just kind of what it is. And then you think that you heal from something and you think that you've moved on from something. And then you get back into the swing of things of how that something started and you realize that you hadn't moved on. And so I had took a 3.5 year hiatus from like dating and dealing with niggas and then to start dealing with niggas and realize like those same issues that I had at 20, 21, I'm still having at 26, 27. And so I was just like, oh, okay, I haven't healed from the past trauma that I've experienced with these past relationships. And it's trickling into this new one that I'm trying to, you know, pursue. And I realized that I needed to work on myself. And that's why I ended up ending it with the guy that I was seeing when I was like 26, 27, because I was just like, actually, no, it wasn't 26, 27. What am I talking about? When did I live in Arizona? I was 28. Yes, I was 28. 27, 28, something like that. And so I had ended it with him because I was just like, I don't know myself and you can't make me happy because I don't know what it takes to make me happy. And I don't know what I want in a relationship and what I don't want. And I just know that everything that I've experienced in my past relationships, I'm putting on you and I just can't do it anymore. Granted, he had his own issues and that's another story. But I realized the part that I was playing and it was enough for me to say like, I'm done. And so I looked at those past that at that point, that's when past relationships stopped hurting me and started helping me because then I started realizing the lessons that I should have learned, from those situations. And so, pretty much that's how I started my journey on like finding myself and figuring out what I want in a relationship. And to be honest, I don't know 100% what I want, but I know what I don't want now. And so, and it's very easy to go back to your old ways. I've done it plenty of times before. And so, you know, it takes a lot of getting used to, but I will say that part of my revelation stemmed from me, talking to the guy, to Chris. So we ended up talking somehow through social media. We ended up like following each other and talking to each other. And, we pretty much hashed out everything and basically, was like, you know, let's just call it what it was. And he apologized, and was telling me, you know, how wrong he was and all that. And I had to stop him in the middle of his apology and say, hey, we were young. We didn't know what the fuck we were doing. And to think that we could be everything to one person at that young of an age, it was very like immature of us because we weren't there yet. Neither one of us were there yet. Neither one of us was emotionally available to be that for the other person, but yet we tried. And so I released him from that. And it also released me from that because I was just like, man, like I can't blame him for the poor decisions that I made. And he can't blame me for the poor decisions that he made. We were learning and I hope that he's doing good in life. And I hope that, he gets everything that he asked for. I'm not on bad terms with anybody except for my baby daddy. I don't like that nigga. But everybody else, I'm not on bad terms with nobody. Everybody in my life I could talk to right now, and I don't have an ill feeling towards them. I could even talk to my baby daddy, but it's him. We're not even going to go there. So I don't have no bad blood. And so I was happy that I was able to have that conversation with him to kind of clear the air, because that was where a lot of my issues were rooted. My issues were rooted in that particular situation, because that was the first situation that I actually felt something. Everything else I did not feel. And so it just took me down this long path of me trying to figure out, like, wow, you know, in order for me to put a name on it, like, okay, yeah, I am emotionally unavailable. And yeah, I do need to figure out this, and I do need to practice self-worth, and I do need to understand what my values and my morals are. And so a lot of that came because of this past situation that I've pretty much dissected in the past like 2 years. Because I want to say I started really thinking about this when I was like 28, 29. And so, and I'm about to be 31 next month. So the past 2 years, I really dissected it, and I was just like, what is it? Because I cannot make these same mistakes at 30, 31, 32. I have a 5-year-old. I don't have time. And so me paying attention to all these past mistakes and realizing where they're stemming from all the way back to childhood, it has helped me get to where I am now. And so for anybody who is gone through this or is going through this, just know that there is light at the end of the tunnel. you can laugh about it just like I do right now, because I laugh about it. You can make it out, and it's not the end all be all. And I definitely learned, like, don't let any man compromise who you want to be for the sake of keeping them on your arm or being happy. Because that's, if you look on social media, it's the same thing what it was back then as it is today. People are in relationships for the sake of saying that they're in relationships, and they want to be with somebody so bad that they're willing to put up with whatever they're putting up, because they just think, oh, well, that's just life, I guess. Oh, well, that's just as best as I can do. And that has to do with your self-worth. And it really stems back to all that, because if you could see this shit played out, the things that are being done to you, if you can see it played out with somebody else, you would probably step in and say, hey, this ain't it. And so you kind of have to be that person for yourself. You have to be your advocate. You have to speak up for yourself. You have to create boundaries. You have to say what you will and what you won't put up with, because I say it all the time, you start letting these niggas slide and they start ice skating. And that's the fucking truth. So you got to cut them off at the pass, because they will get over with whatever the fuck they can get over with. The reason why niggas are the way that they are is because there's women in this world that let them be that. If nobody let them be that, they would have to get their shit together. Period. Right? So these are the lessons that I've learned from being an accidental side chick 2 or 3 times in my fucking life. And a lot of it was being young and dumb and not paying attention to the signs, or not caring about paying attention to the signs, and not being emotionally invested. A lot of people, I hope, will find refuge in this and know, like, man, if she's gone through it, I'll go through it too. I mean, I hope that people realize, like, if she's gone through it and she got through it, then I can go through it and get through it as well. And I hope that you find yourself, you know, at the end, like, man, I'm happy I made it out of it, and these are the lessons I learned. You really have to take a deep look into yourself. And this is not excusing the shit that was done with the other parties involved, but this is how I made peace with myself, was finding where I went wrong at. What decisions could I have made that would have not put me in that situation with any of these dudes? And, you know, it'll never happen again. Tell you that. So that's kind of like myself spilling tea about myself. You know, we can talk about this all day long. I have no problem talking about this. It does not bother me. So yeah, if you want to talk about it, just hit me up. Let's talk, man. Let's chat about these niggas, right? I'll talk to y'all soon. Peace. It's the end of the episode. If you like what you've heard, show me some love on Apple Podcasts by subscribing and giving me a 5-star rating. And if you want to talk about this topic a little bit more, hit me up on Twitter at narrowly412. That's on Twitter at narrowly412. Talk to y'all next episode. Peace.